Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
I am having a little bit of an internet challenge here, so here we go. First, here's our assignment. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue, the issue being fitness. Keep the issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Good morning. This is Helga from Charleston.
Good morning, Helga.
Good morning.
How about you and fitness?
First, you know, when I read the assignment, I thought, I really don't have any issue with it at all. I mean, I've always loved to work out. I've always loved to run, to move my body. I've been doing yoga for many, many, many years. So, you know, I couldn't think of anything. And then, you know, it's so funny because I actually have talked about this issue before, but somehow that completely escaped my mind when I was thinking about it.
Well, Helga, it completely escaped you when the voices are busy telling you how you have no issue with this, right? How this?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's it. Yeah. Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Anyway, so you know what my issue is with probably everything else is the standard of perfection. And so, you know, it's not enough that I love yoga, that I love tennis, all the things that I do, but it has to be perfect. And,
yes.
You know, what I realized is when I was younger, I could kind of buy into that illusion easier. And now that I'm getting older, it gets harder and harder because there are just days when I don't perform that great, or you know, like to that standard,
or where
yoga is not. Pardon me.
Well, I was just going to say, or you wind up playing tennis with a 25-year-old.
Well, yeah, I don't even do that.
Oh, okay, that's smart.
No, that wouldn't work at all. That'd be too painful.
Yeah, but even yoga in the privacy of your own home.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I go to yoga classes and everything. So, you know, and I went this morning and I realized this before. It's like, you know, when I was young, I could not do yoga for quite a while, come back and just pick it up where I left off. And now it's, you know, it's painful when I don't do it for a while. And I can feel my joints, you know, and so then is where I really notice these voices. You know, that give me a hard time in general about aging, and with this particular issue, it gives me a really hard time. You know, it's like I get frustrated with myself, or you know, that kind of thing, which then you know that really cuts into my enjoyment of the whole thing. So
right. Well, and for anybody who hasn't been tracking along for a while, to point out that it's the same voices that talk you out of doing yoga that then beat you up for not being as flexible and for the fact that you're aging, and then will continue their campaign to get you not to do the things that will take care of you so that they can beat you up for the results of not taking care of yourself. I mean, that's the name of the game, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it never talked me out of doing yoga, but what I've noticed, I mean, you know, it came up like really strong a couple of days ago. I play this game, it's called pickleball, and I really love playing it. It's really, really fun. And for some reason, you know, I haven't been sleeping well, so I haven't played very well. And that I got so frustrated that I, you know, really felt like I don't want to play this because it's just too frustrating. And you know, that's where it talks me out of doing the things that I just enjoy doing, you know. Mind, you know, how I perform. But yeah, so that was like, and that's when it clicked, you know, this is the issue. the issue is that I should be, you know, performing on a level of whatever, you know, that I can never meet anyways.
That's right. Which,
and
again,
then it out of having fun.
That's right. Which, again, is the whole point, right? If we make the standards so high that you can't meet them, then you can constantly be beaten. And that's the place, Helga, where I go, okay, this is how I get to practice being a good Zen student, which is beginner's mind. All right, so, okay, this is today. I don't know how I'm going to play. I have no idea how I'm going to play. I'm just going to be with this human being the best coach and support that I can be as she gets out there and does something that she loves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is across the board, right? I mean, that's
right.
That seeing ego's game and then seeing what we need to do in response to that, that's the deal.
Right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Good to talk with you. Hey. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Thanks, Helga. Sherry, I'm just going to bring on the next caller while I work through whatever it is that's going on with my computer. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy. Hello, Sherry and Ashwini.
Hello, Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Good morning.
What are you seeing?
I'm looking at, in terms of fitness, I'm looking at the way I hold tension in my body and relaxing that. And the first thing the conditioning says is, you don't do anything. You don't need to relax. You know, you need to work harder. But there, you know, right there. But,
oh,
you know, it's not.
Wait, Judy. That is too priceless. You don't need to relax. You don't do anything.
Right. I mean, it's just right
That's
there.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. It
there
is.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was driving this morning, there I was. I noticed my shoulders were up. You know, and when I sit in the chair, I have to think to let my weight be on the chair. It's like the chair doesn't do it. You know, conditioning tells me the chair won't do it. I have to hold myself up. So that's what I'm looking at. Just letting this, you know, trust. It's really trusting, I think. Trusting that the earth and life supports me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and of course, I would say letting go of ego and proving that it's a sack of lies. Right, because the chair is much more trustworthy than ego.
Yeah.
If you're going to trust your life to anything, pick the chair,
because
that voice in your head, as you know, really doesn't like you. I mean, who would say you don't do anything? You don't need to relax.
Yeah.
You need to do more. You need to tense up, girl.
Yeah. And the tension just gets me into so much trouble. You know, I have dry eyes, so I've been seeing a Feldenkrais practitioner, and I had no idea that he sees all this. I had no idea the tension that I'm holding throughout my body in ways that I never even knew I was being tense. You know, that was the new normal.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. I'm not tense. I'm not stressed.
Right.
And, of course, what a setup. You couldn't possibly be stressed because you don't do anything.
Right, I'm retired.
So that's just crazy. Don't even look there.
Uh-huh.
Don't even look there.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So this is, what, day three? I'm already learning a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. And so the next time that voice wants to tell you you don't do anything, you can point out that what you do is that you practice awareness of being.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? That's what you do. And everything else is a subcategory under that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, everything else is just what you're practicing being in awareness with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Awareness of being. Okay, I'll take that on.
All right. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Go happy.
Okay, go happy.
Thanks, Judy. That is just very powerful to note, right, Sherry, in the process of looking at what the process of ego is, don't look here is the place we need to look.
Yes.
Oh, there's nothing there.
And
there's nothing to see there.
Well, and then that realm of doing, which is just so, I've been looking at that where the, but it's Indiana Jones' little clip, right? where he's facing an enemy and the guy brandishes a sword and does all these moves and yeah, and invites him into a sword fight, and he takes out a gun and shoots him. And so the place of, I don't need to play in your field, like I don't have to play on your board, because that's not the board. The board itself is an illusion. The invitation to the problem that I'm trying to solve is an illusion. And that it's not in the realm of doing that we are practicing to be in, but in the realm of being. Yeah. And being in awareness is what we do as awareness practitioners. And so when we're invited to look at how our doing, it does not meet some standard of conditioning, we realize it's a false invitation. That's not where we need to look.
Right. Right. That is so good. That is so good. That the whole thing, it's stepping back enough to see that the whole game is bogus.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting place to practice with the content of movement.
Say more.
Well, being one would associate with, you know, states of being which are not, that which are not in movement, right? That conditioned notion that being somehow doesn't do.
Yes, yes, exactly. That those are opposites. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That contradiction.
Rather than,
isn't it?
You're right.
Yeah.
Rather than consciousness, being is what we call doing.
Right. Well, and
ego has no part
all about. And fitness, which is what we're looking at, is how do we move our bodies? That's that there is no dichotomy between movement and being in the realm of awareness.
Yeah.
It's only a dichotomy or a duality in ego's world.
Yeah. Gosh, I just saw when you were saying that story, many people have heard me tell it because I think it's just one of the saddest things I've ever encountered. This woman was getting her 5-year-old ready for kindergarten, and he was hyperactive, and he so wanted to go to kindergarten, but he was a perpetual motion machine because, you know, he just had all this energy in his little body, and he wanted to move all the time, and that was unacceptable. And so she would talk about how he would stand there and try to be still. And he would just shake all over his body, trying to control himself so that he wouldn't move, so that he would be acceptable. And I think a lesser version of that has to have happened to all of us. The self-consciousness that we were conditioned to bring to controlling the body in all circumstances so that it never embarrasses ego. It's never inappropriate. It's never awkward. It's never sad.
Too much.
It's never too much. I think about being in Africa and seeing people dance. You know, and I don't think there's a black person on that continent who thinks in terms of am I a good dancer?
Yeah. Sobering.
It is. It really is. It's very sad.
Yeah. Well, on that note, how about our next caller, Sherry?
Right.
Here we go. Next caller, you're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Patty calling from Vancouver.
Hello, Patty from Vancouver.
What long time no
Patty?
Here.
I know. You've been up there practicing away, though, so.
Well, I haven't put myself in the queue. And so, of course, the day I say, okay, I'm not listening to ego. Okay, I'm putting myself in. Here I get to talk.
There you go.
There
ask and you shall receive.
And I'm celebrating that. I'm not going to listen to ego. And
no, ever.
Yeah, ever. So this session, what came up for me is very similar to some of the other ones, which is you know, you've got this. You don't need to do anything about this. You know, you have a good exercise program in place. There's really nothing to look at, very similar to what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And I think I do have a lot of exercise that keeps me fit. But, like, I think about I think one thing that I can look at is when I go to yoga, am I present? Or is this the routine that I've always done? You know, how present really am I to the movement of the body?
Mm-hmm.
Go
ahead.
Well, what I've been playing with is, okay, when the arm is moving, am I feeling the energy around me? Am I really focusing on that leg or that part of it? And a memory that came to me is one time when I was on a retreat, and it was in the summer, and a couple of us silently went to the lake and swam, and in the lunch break, and just the feel of floating in the body when you're really present was like heaven. So it just motivates me to want to be present to the body and movement of the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was going to say a moment ago is simply that we know from people who study this kind of thing that not to be present to the body when we're exercising is basically a waste of time. So you'll go to the gym and you'll see people, you know, doing dumbbell curls and reading.
Yes.
And they might as well not be doing it because you need to be focused on the muscle that is doing what you're asking it to do for it to be effective. And that's the same process. You've added another element, which is the sheer pleasure of being with the body as the body does what the body does. And that, of course, that's something that, you know, for an awful lot of people was taken away right around puberty. So to add that in, to be with the body as a way of appreciating, thanking, caring for, honoring the body, and then being able to just enjoy being in that presence.
And gratitude that it can do this at this time. And,
Yep. Or any time. Right?
Right.
Yeah, for those of us who had, we could, in quotes, perfect bodies up until they started aging, you know, to remember how many people have never had that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I've come to see as I've done yoga for many, many years is my yoga teacher, she talks about spiritual bypassing, you know, when you just sit and not move the body. And you're not, like you're talking about, with the body as the body's changing and so on. And so I've really made a spiritual practice of going there. And I think you talked about this too, sort of relaxing in a pose and really trying to be present in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes, you know, that's kind of a marker for me 3-4 times a week to, okay, I'm here and I'm present. Almost as
because,
if you sit in meditation practice.
Yes, and what you're doing, of course, is training yourself. So you walk out of that class and you know, I don't need to stop being present.
Correct.
Because I'm up walking on the street. Gosh, I could be here with the body with this in this moment. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Patty.
Okay.
Good to hear
thank
from
you. And all I'm right. going to see you in October.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And that's right around the corner, as you've noticed.
It is.
Yeah.
All right.
See you
thank
soon
you.
Then.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Patty. Oh, so much in that conversation, Sherry. But the thing that so struck me was how whenever there is the no, don't look there, what we really turn that around to look at is what do I look for now? Because there's always something to see. And so long as we don't ask conditioning for what
an interpretation.
Right. Yes, well, it's always the same, right? It has nothing different to say. So if you're looking for something and reference it, the sameness of it is what doesn't give us more information, more nuance, more depth, a connection, nothing. It has to be that organic place in life that we get the information about where to look and to be able to train ourselves, as Patty was pointing to, which is to be present in the body from that place. Oh, it's possible to inhabit the body from a place of pleasure. Mm-hmm. That movement is as much an exercise and attention on awareness as sitting meditation. And in every movement that I make, can I be that present? Mm-hmm. And that melding of attention on awareness with movement is really what we're practicing when we're doing yoga, right? Not just the movement.
Or pickleball or tennis or
anything.
Swimming. Or whatever the heck we're doing. Yeah.
Well, that's walking. The divorce, right? That's what ego says. Well, I'm walking. You don't have to pay attention. You don't have to be present when you're walking because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But what we were talking about with Judy, attention on awareness, no matter what we're doing, is the how of actually being alive.
Yeah. And knowing it.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
This is Diane in Colorado.
Hey, Diane. Back from Costa Rica.
I am. Well, there's a lot of common humanity in what the voices say about this, isn't there?
Yes, indeed. We are in this together, as people keep pointing out. Yeah. We are one.
I have a special thing going on with this because I broke my back in June, and so I wasn't able to do much exercise for the last 3 months, and now I have to get back to it. I just started PT this morning.
Wow.
So that adds an extra layer of voices that it's going to be too hard to get back into it, and you're never going to regain your former fitness level, and that goes
Don't you love it, Diane? Don't you love it? There's the coach of our dreams, right?
Right there.
It's never going to work. You're never going to do it. It's all over. Why don't you give up? It's too hard. Wow.
Yeah, and you know what the great thing about this coach of your dreams is that it's always with you.
Absolutely. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night to tell you what's impossible for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. And so I'm hoping, guessing, projecting, that really inspires you to be present with her. She who has broken her back. She who has a broken back. Let's not say she broke it, but she is the recipient of a broken back. And you get to be there. You get to actually be the coach who supports her and tells her the things that she needs to hear to complete her healing and be stronger than ever.
That's right. And recordings are really going to help with that.
Yeah. Wow. I know you have a child. And to me, that's always a good, you hate to even think in terms of your child and a broken back or to put those in the same sentence.
Oh my gosh.
But to be with somebody that we love and we can see their innocence, and if something like this happened to them, how would we want to be with them? And to have, you now have the opportunity to be with Diane in that way.
Yes. And I wanted to, as I was sitting with this again this morning, it was the usual litany of negative voices. Mm. Like I was just, for what came up yesterday. And I just want to say out loud that I didn't hear a darn thing from the part of me that's very true but did not come up in the voices, that I actually like working out. And I enjoy it when my body feels strong. I mean, most of my life I've been super fit. And, you know, then you fall into the age trap of I'm never going to be as fit as I was and blah, blah, blah. But it was just so interesting how none of those voices came up spontaneously. I had to spend some time with it and say, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, wait, this is something I actually want to do. And to regain your fitness, right? It's what you want to do. You like to do that. You can enjoy doing that. That can actually be a pleasure for you. True?
Yes.
Yeah, you just call on that person who really likes to do that.
That's right. But I just wanted to note that it was so interesting that none of that came up spontaneously at all.
Oh, no.
But all the rest of it did.
All the rest of it did. Yeah, that was the important message. That's too hard. It's never going to work. It's hopeless. It's so ugly, isn't it? I know. I've devoted my life to outing that. You know, how truly hateful, nasty, ugly, vicious it is. And I had a lot of information from people that say it's so extreme, I don't have that experience. And for most people who say I haven't had that experience, they just haven't paid attention, and they just haven't had something happen in their life that puts them in touch with it. Because it's there, and it's ready to pounce on anybody as soon as there's the slightest opportunity.
Well, that's certainly my experience, and it has opportunity all day long, and that's what I work
with. All day long. And the only difference between us and the people who don't have the experience is we know what's going on, and we know what's making us miserable. When people don't know what's going on and don't know what's making them miserable, they're chasing a lot of things that are only going to result in more suffering. So we just hope that... As people wake up to what's going on, it happens in kindness and compassion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And I think I get to say I'll see you soon.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Me
too.
Me too. Thanks, Diane.
Bye-bye. Thank you both.
Thanks, Diane. Sherry, we have 2 minutes. Shall we try to squeeze in another caller?
Well, you know we'll go over.
Okay, well, let's not then.
Because I cannot be trusted to practice restraint and religious observances.
Well, and I'm standing on 1 foot attempting to get a signal, so I think it might be compassionate
it might
for
be
all
time.
And this is our next exercise. Okay,
All right. Here we go.
Our exercise for today. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs, assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief and assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices. I hate going to the gym. Belief, liking or disliking something is a reason to do or not to do it.
That's so big.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
All right.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.
Talk tomorrow. Go happy.
Okay.